mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. A moment ago in the Nicene Creed, we just confessed our belief in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. This same Spirit moved prophets, apostles, evangelists to write the Holy Scriptures. This Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles and enabled them to preach the gospel in different languages. Today, we celebrate this amazing day of Pentecost. The apostles and those who heard their message were gathered together, all in one place. Our risen Lord had ascended into heaven just 10 days earlier, and now seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And now, the amazing time had come for the Holy Spirit to fill the hearts of all the faithful and to kindle within them the fire of God's love. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in his last words with his disciples prior to his crucifixion there on Maundy Thursday, he promised them the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Comforter, would come after Jesus left them. He helps us when we need the words to speak, especially when we speak in prayer or when we speak in witness. And the Holy Spirit comforts us in all of our afflictions and strengthening our faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This is the amazing work of the Holy Spirit, to bring us to faith in Christ and to preserve in us the same faith. What Jesus was promising in our gospel today would revolutionize the world. He promised that the Holy Spirit would come to us. He would guide us into all truth. The truth that this same Spirit would move us then to proclaim to others, into all the world, the good news of Jesus Christ. He told them what he, the Father, and the Son wanted to make known. All that the Father has belongs to the Son and the Holy Spirit, who would take this and declare it to all these disciples at the first Pentecost. When Jesus spoke these words, it was, as I said, Maundy Thursday, and he had instituted his Holy Supper, which we will celebrate this as well today. And the disciples' hearts were heavy with these words that the teacher was giving them. It's almost too much for them to bear. But the Spirit, whom he promised, would give them all that they needed to know and to proclaim. Amazing. Their lives, the apostles, our lives, will change. We do not see the Holy Spirit coming like a rushing wind today, nor do we see him rest on people's heads like tongues of fire. Neither do we see him descend like a dove. He operates through the means of grace, through the very word of God, and through the sacraments that we celebrate here in the church, Holy Baptism and the celebration of the Lord's Supper. This is his proper work. This is the proper work that the Holy Spirit would rather do. He also performs what is called his alien work. These are things which the Holy Spirit would rather not do, but that if he must, he will convict the world. And he does so through the proclamation of the law, convicting the world world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit convicts us, for we are most certainly in the world. He convicts us of sin, for we daily sin too much, and we surely deserve nothing but punishment. Sin is nothing more than unbelief. It's our constant breaking of the first commandment, and therefore all ten commandments. By our many sins, we show that we do not fear, love, and trust in God above all things, as He has commanded us. Yet we say, many of us say, well, listen, I'm a pretty good person. I do a lot of good things. Works we think should count for something, shouldn't they? I got news for you. Good works done apart from Christ are nothing more than sin. If you do something good for somebody expecting the Lord to look favorably upon you, you've committed a sin. Sin is nothing more than unbelief, regardless of which commandment we break. Unbelief is nothing less than rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit, whose work it is to bring us to saving faith in Jesus Christ. The Lord tells us many times in His inerrant word that many sins will be forgiven. However, He also says, truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is to openly reject His work and the gifts that He offers, namely the forgiveness of sins won upon the cross by Jesus Christ. It is this sin against the Holy Spirit that not only convicts us, but it also condemns us. Scripture also tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You see, we are constantly in a struggle with sin, with the devil. We're constantly in a struggle with temptations. They're bombarding us, things coming at us, left and right, from the top and from below. As the people of God, we're not immune to this. This struggle is ever present. So we sin constantly out of our weakness. We sin not because we are just humans. We sin because we are sinners. See, there's an important distinction to be made there. We stand convicted before the law, for the Spirit has convicted us. Take a look at the Ten Commandments. We're looking at them in our Bible study on Sunday mornings right now. We are guilty as charged on all accounts of all the commandments, countless times. And according to God's law, then, we deserve eternal death and eternal separation from God. Now, having brought us to our knees in contrition, guilt, the Holy Spirit is ready and willing to perform His proper work now. He's brought us from contrition to repentance, to confessing to our Heavenly Father all that we've done wrong, all of our sins and all of our iniquities. And the same Spirit moves us then to be heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. It is the Holy Spirit in Him alone who operates through His Word to bring this repentance in us. That alone is the work of the Holy Spirit. here in the Lord's house among the New Testament people, which is me and you, through the preaching of the word and the pronouncement of holy absolution, does the Holy Spirit bring about the forgiveness of your sins. As Luther teaches us in his explanation of the third article, in this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. This amazing gift of forgiveness is for all people, but it is grasped only through faith. Faith in those who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord, that he bled and died to win his forgiveness for us. We who believe are the ones who receive the fullness of this amazing gift. But it's only because the Holy Spirit brought us to faith. He's led us to the waters of holy baptism. We've been convicted by the law and we have been forgiven by the gospel. He has led us to receive the gifts of God's grace, for we cannot grasp these amazing gifts on our own. On our own, we cannot grasp it. We can't even believe in Jesus Christ on our own. That, too, is a work that the Holy Spirit does for us. You see, faith is a gift from God. It is a work of God. Jesus himself says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. More specifically, this is the work of the Holy Spirit, that we believe in Jesus Christ and that we cling to him, craving his body and blood, given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. The Apostle Paul wrote, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit's proper work. That this is what he gladly does for us. For he, with the Father and the Son, they want all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And the Holy Spirit guides us into all the truth. The truth found only in the Holy Scriptures. He guides us into the good news that Jesus suffered and died for you so that you would be forgiven. And he rose so that you would, through faith, live with him forever. God has sent his Holy Spirit into your heart that you may live in the forgiveness of sins and, as his forgiven child, that you may know his own, you are his own, and that you will live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, which Christ has won for you and with which the Holy Spirit enlightens you, even as he called you by the gospel. So today he calls you, his dear children, to the table of the Lord for the amazing gift of the sacrament of Holy Communion. On this amazing and holy day of Pentecost, we thank the Holy Spirit for what he has done and what he continues to do for us. He still guides us into all the truth. He still calls us by the gospel. He still enlightens us with all of his gifts. He still sanctifies and keeps us in the one true faith. He still daily and richly forgives us our sins. And likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The whole say, Holy Spirit, fill me with the words that I should say. This is what the Holy Spirit does joyfully. The Holy Spirit helps us. We also want to thank the Holy Spirit for what He will do for us. For on the last day, the Holy Spirit will raise us and all the dead and give eternal life to us and to all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. We have this assurance, for the Holy Spirit speaks to us today through the preaching of the Word, just as He moved the apostles to do on that first Pentecost, just as He calls pastors to proclaim today. And now, moved by the Spirit, we implore Him to restore us to the joy of His amazing salvation and to uphold us with His free Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.